Okay. We're ready? Okay. Oh, this is daunting. Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. I know it's a very busy Sunday, the second Sunday before Pesach. Always busy time. It's an honor for us to have Rabbi Reuven Tarragon, who's going to give a shiur this morning related to the Haggadah. He needs no introduction. He's spoken in our shul many times. He's always generous with his time with us. So we very much appreciate him always making time to give a shiur in our shul. And it's a big cover for us to have him. Without further ado, Rabbi Tarragon.
Thank you very much, Danny. And it's great to see everyone. Thank you to all those who make this shiur impossible. We're talking about you. Okay. Henry, we're talking about you. I said thank you to all those who make this shiur impossible. Okay. I see right now there's one participant, so for the meantime, I'm going to use the shtender to speak, and we'll put it over here. We'll see if there's more participants. Well, I think they can still see anyway from this angle. Okay, but we'll give the prioritization to the people who are here. Oh, there's another shtender. See that? Okay. So far, there's just they can see fine from there, you know, but okay. Yeah. Whatever the Seder Atov is. Okay. Speaking of Seder, that's what we're speaking about today. And instead of just going through the Haggadah, though, we'll do that as well. And I think sometimes people speak about minutia in the Haggadah instead of seeing the whole picture of the Haggadah, which we're going to see together here, the forest as opposed to just the trees. But instead of just going through the Seder, I'd like to begin by speaking a little bit about the principles behind the Seder, understanding what we're meant to accomplish. And as we all know, the central mitzvah on the Seder night is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, telling the story of how we left Mitzrayim. I want to begin by introducing two basic questions about that mitzvah. And to a large extent, the questions may answer one another. The first question is the relationship between that mitzvah and a similar mitzvah we have the rest of the year. We know that there's a mitzvah to commemorate Yetziat Mitzrayim every day and every night. If we look at the first source of the Mishnah in Brachot Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet, we reference this in the Seder night, Maskirin Yetziat Mitzrayim Balelot. So there's a mitzvah every night to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. So one wonders how the Seder night is any different. The language of the Prima Gadim is Yesh Lahakshot. What do we need this for? Or the language of the Mincha Chinuch, which is magical considering the night, he says, every night we're meant to speak about Yetziat Mitzrayim. Why is there a special mitzvah on the Seder night? The second question is to a large extent the opposite question. Not how Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim relates to the similar mitzvah the rest of the year, but how it relates to the different mitzvot that coincide with it. As we know on the Seder night, we have, in addition to the mitzvah to tell the story, the mitzvah to eat three foods, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Is it coincidental that the telling of the story and the eating of the foods fall out at the same time? Or is it indicative of the fact that there's some broader thing going on? And obviously, the second question, the answer to the second question could answer the first question. The extent to which Sipur is meant to be linked to the objects would immediately distinguish it from what we do on the regular nights of the year. And so this is the tension and the question we want to ask about Sipur. To what extent is it like the regular reflection the rest of the year? To what extent is it different and maybe different because it's linked to the objects? I think all this is an even sharper question according to the Shita of the Rambam. And let's mention briefly that Shita, which I think sharpens all these ideas. The Rambam in his Mitzvah Naseh counts as a mitzvah the mitzvah on the 15th of Nisan, the Seder night, to tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. What's interesting, though, is that the Rambam does not mention the mitzvah of the rest of the year. The Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvah does nowhere mentions that there's a mitzvah to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim the rest of the year. And this is an obvious question because obviously the Rambam believes that there is a mitzvah. The Rambam himself, if you look at the second source in Ot Aleph here, Hilchot Kriyat Shema, he says, there's a mitzvah lahaski yetziat mitzrayim b'yom u'b'layla, like the Mishnah. So the Rambam agrees that there's a, quote, mitzvah to remember yetziat mitzrayim all year, but he doesn't mention it in the Sefer HaMitzvah. This is a very strong question. There are many speculative answers that have been given for this Rambam. I'll mention one briefly. But there's one answer that I think has a lot of basis in the Rambam itself, and as I mentioned, will sharpen our question. I'll give you an example of an answer they give in the name of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said the reason the Rambam doesn't quote the mitzvah of Zechir, Yetziat Mitzrayim separately is because it's subsumed in a different mitzvah. It's part of another mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, but it's really part of another mitzvah. What's the other mitzvah that Zechira Yetziat Mitzrayim is subsumed within? Chaim said, Kriyat Shema. Soloveitchik has a famous piece where he talks about this whole mahalach based on his grandfather. And the source they bring for this is the Rambam that we just referenced, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, where the Rambam talks about remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim. And then after he says this, he says, Kriyat Shalosh Parashiyot Eilu Al Seder Zeh, he anikrei Kriyat Shema. Oh, you see that Kriyat Shema includes everything he mentioned. So Chaim says, oh, you see that Zechira Yetziat Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Now, to be fair, that's not exactly what the Rambam means. The Rambam begins each set of halacha by defining his terms. He's defining what's Kriyat Shema. When we refer to Kriyat Shema, what is it? It's three parshiyot that include everything I just mentioned. He isn't necessarily saying that inherently the mitzvah of Zechira Yetziat Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. He's saying that technically, when we mention Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's part of what we call Kriyat Shema. And this is a good example of how people sometimes read the Rambam anachronistically, looking for brisker diukim, instead of understanding what the Rambam himself is saying. The Rambam there isn't saying something about the conceptual nature of the mitzvah. This is why Rishonim already speak about the Rambam, including the Tashbits, not so known to us because he was one of the major Algerian Rishonim. The Tashbits wrote a sefer, Zohar HaRakia, and he says, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Zechira the rest of the year is included in the mitzvah of Sipur on the Seder night. And this approach we find in many of the Achronim, including the Keren Ora, and I think it has a lot of basis in the Rambam's words themselves. If you look at the bottom of page 1, Perek Zayin Alach Aleph, we'll be learning together, Emir Tzashem, all of Perek Zayin in the Rambam, where he goes through the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Rambam begins and he says, there's a mitzvah, Seishel Torah, L'Saper, V'Nisim, V'Niflos. And then he quotes the Pasuk. A Pasuk that's surprising. Shenamar, Zachar et Hayom Hazeh Asher Yetzatem Mitzrayim. That's the Pasuk the Rambam quotes as a basis for Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. If we look earlier, two sources earlier, in Hilchot Kriyat Shema, when the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah all year round, what pasuk does he quote? I have it underlined there. Mitzvah lahaski yetziyah mitzrayim b'yom of alayla shenamar l'man tizkor. What's the difference between the pasuk of Zohar and l'man tizkor? Anyone? Very simple.
Passive and active.
Zohar is a commandment. L'man tizkor is passive, is an implication, something we hope will be an outgrowth. Says the Karen Ora, the Rambam counts the mitzvah on the Seder night as the mitzvah because that's where the pasuk has a commandment. He counts the rest of the year as an outgrowth of the Seder night because it's presented as an outgrowth, Laman Tizkor. In fact, the Keren Ora says beautifully that this explains the next line in the Rambam, again, bottom of page 1. The Rambam, after quoting the Pasuk of Zachor Zayomazah, he adds, Kimoshe Namar, Zachor Zemashabas. Why does the Rambam feel a need to mention Zachor Zemashabas to help us understand what Zechira is? We know what Zechira is. Keren Ora says, the Zechira of Pesach, of Yetziat Mitzrayim, is very similar to the Zechira of Shabbos. Meaning, when is there a mitzvah to remember Shabbos? The focal point of our commemoration of Shabbos, of course, is on Shabbos. We say Kiddush, sometimes on Shabbos, we say Kiddush. But it's not just Shabbos. We're meant to reflect on it all week. How do we reflect on Shabbos all week? On the most basic level, Ayom Yom, Yishim Shabbos, Sheni Shabbos, put food aside for Shabbos. Same thing with Yetzias Mitzrayim. The focal point is the Seder night, like Shabbos. That's the Shabbos of the year for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's meant to generate a memory for the rest of the year. Keren Ora writes this idea very beautifully, moving on to page 2. The Tzlach writes the same idea, and it's the difference between the two pesukim. Here you have the pasuk repeated from Dvarim, where I think it really says this idea. In Dvarim Perek Tzayin, it talks about being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Pesach, as a vach, the Pesach, Hashem, and the Kesach, Tzol, and Bakar, and Mokam, and Shev, Chara, Hashem, the Tochel, and Chomet, Shivat, Yom, and Tochel, and Matzot, the mitzvah of Pesach, Leman Tiskor Yom Seischem Eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. What do the Pesukim say? Fulfill the mitzvah of Pesach so that you'll take the memory with you all year. That's what the Rambam said. This is the Pesuk he quotes as the source for the mitzvah the whole year. The rest of the year we're perpetuating the memory that we focus on the Seder night. So that's the Pshat of the Rambam. Our question becomes even more important. If the Seder night, if the commemoration on the Seder night is the focal point of the whole year, so how is it different? What are we meant to be doing on the Seder night beyond what we do? So this is the introduction, the opening question that I want to answer in two ways. First, by going through the sugyas with you, the principles. Let's learn through the Gemara, the Mishnayos together. And then we're going to see how we do it in the Haggadah L'maisa. And what you're going to come out with and Yirtzeh Hashem is a, hopefully a better understanding of the full picture of the Haggadah, what we're doing at every stage, what we're hoping to accomplish, what the principles at play are, and that's the goal of this year. The reason I mention it is people don't think it's such a good idea. You can leave. You know what I'm saying? Meaning, if you only know at the end what it's about, it's too late. I want you to know what we're doing. It doesn't interest you. Okay, so yeah, free choice. Okay, so let's turn to page 3, where we'll start looking together at the characteristics of the mitzvah of Sivri Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Mishnah at the end of Tzachim, when it finally gets to the Seder night, because for those who don't know, like the other Mesechtot in Seder Zmanim, Mesechet Tzachim is organized by the flow of time, by the calendar. Mesechet Shabbos, we begin on Erev Shabbos, we end with Matzei Shabbos. Mesechet Pesachim begins the night before Pesach, with Bidikas Chametz. Then we talk about the laws of Erev Pesach, when you prepare the matzah and the marah. The end of Mesechet Pesachim is the end of the laws of Pesach, which is the Seder night, because after the Seder night, what all the laws are there. This is how Pesach is different than Sukkot. Sukkot, each day stands on its own, has its own significance. Pesach, the highlight is at the beginning, and the rest is just a continuation. Because Pesach is rooted in an event that happened the first night. Sukkot, nothing happened the first night. It's equally significant all the days. That's just parenthetically. In any case, the Mishnah, the end of Pesachim, gets to the second kos, and it says, Mazgulo kos sheni dekan haben shoel aviv. Here the son asks his father the questions. These few words indicate to us two unique aspects of the format of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim that we don't have the rest of the year. What are these aspects, anyone? Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, as opposed to Zechira, the rest of the year, needs to be done through? Through?
Given
faith. Question and answer. Okay, what other facet do we see here? It needs to involve children. Those are two different points. How do we know they're two different points? They're separable. Let's say there are no children there. Do you still ask questions? Let's say the child isn't asking questions. Do you still tell them the answer? That's why these two are so important in and of themselves. To continue in the second source, we know the way the Torah describes in Shemot Perek Yud-Gimel, V'haya ki yishol chabin chamachar, questioning of the son. The smack, the Sefer Mitzvah Skotin mentions this first idea, lahagid livno v'lel tesvav benisa, to tell your child. Rambam codifies this in the very next halacha after he gives that introductory halacha about the chiyuv. And halacha bet, the Rambam says, mitzvah lahodia lebanim, v'afilu lo shalu. It's an independent component. Halacha gimel, v'tzarech lasot shina b'layla zeh, k'yeshe yiru abanim, v'yishalu. Rambam and halacha aleph tells us the mitzvah. Halacha bet, the first unique aspect, children. Halacha gimel, questions. These are two important format issues. And let's stop for a second to reflect on to us about why. Why do we want questions and answers? Because we're Jewish? When you're giving information that's the answer to a question, it means more to people than when you're just telling them information, just presenting them information. We know that in our world today, we're flooded with information. When we have a question and we go to look for the answer means something to us. I think very often in my own life, all kinds of things I never thought about, but I know until I need to think about it, then I go look for it, then suddenly it means a lot to me. And why do we want to involve our children? Mark said it, why do we want to involve our children? We want to make sure we're passing it on to the next generation. Most of the year is just us reminding ourselves, reflecting for a moment. Seder night has to mean more, has to be passed on to future generations. This is all very good, fine and good and true, but it's still incomplete. How do we know? The Minchat Chinuch on the bottom of page 3 points out something very interesting about the Rambam. Which pasuk did the Rambam quote as the source for Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? We saw it a few minutes ago. Anyone remembers? Zachar es hayom hazeh asher yetzatem mitzrayim. What's not mentioned in that pasuk? Not the child and not the questions. So what do you see for the Rambam? The true essence is something else. It could be it's true that you need questions. The Rambam himself adds that later. It's true that you need children. All important, but there's something else. And the else, as we turn to page 4, is the content. There are three ways that Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is different than Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. The first way is the format that we just spoke about. The second way is the content that we're about to speak about. And the third way is the goal that we're going to get to through the content. I mean, I can go through the details. I can tell you there are 8 ways it's different, but I'm really talking about 3 categories. Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is categorically different than Zechirat in 3 ways. Format, content, goal. format we just did. Child, questions. Let's get to the comment, to the content. Top of page 4, the Mishnah begins and says, Ulefidato shel ben aviv melamdo. The father teaches the child based on the dat of the child. He could be young, he could be old, he could be smart, he could be less smart. You have to speak to the child based on who he is. And then the Mishnah goes through an objective list of things that need to be done. So right off the bat, we have a question. We just said it depends on the child. And now we're telling you, but you got to do this and you got to do this. You got. Which one is it? Sometimes in our world, people make believe they're flexible and open-minded and subjective, but they know exactly what they want you to do. Well, which one is it here? Is it subjective? Or is it? Doresh me'arami obed avi. We go through that whole parsha. And then Rami Gamliel comes along and has a surprising statement. You could have done matzal dignut, you could have done arami ovid avi, but if you don't do my thing, you're not yotzi. Meaning everything up till now was good, but you're not yotzi without getting to me. And obviously the question is, why is what he says so important? Continuing with the Rambam's codification on the bottom of page 4, we saw earlier the principle on halacha aleph. We saw the format in halachot bet and gimel, child questions. Now we get to the content. Rambam is very orderly. Halacha dalit, tzarach lahat l'minot lo sayim b'shevach. In the end of this halacha, the Rambam says, you have to be doresh me'arami ovid avi. The Rambam seems to understand that there's a relationship between these two first parts. Halacha hey, kol shalom shal shalom yadu b'pesach lo yati yedei chovaso. Okay, so we have the content as well. There's one more aspect of content that I'd like to point us towards on page 5. And that is, if you look in the continuation of the Mishnah, and you have this in the Haggadah as well, we're all familiar, and maybe we don't appreciate enough how connected they are. The Mishnah continues right afterwards and says, L'tichach anachnu chayovim, l'hodot, l'halel, l'shabeach, l'farer, l'romim, l'hader, etc., etc. The Mishnah includes as part of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Rambam includes as part of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Haggadah includes as part of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. The saying of halel. And we see this in all the Rishonim. If you're looking at page 5, the Rambam we saw earlier, when he talks about what you need to do, he says, we tell the story, and we give hodah. The Ramban, in the end of Parshas Bo, when he talks about the mitzvah of Sipur, says, the goal is to tell the story, the chinuch, when he codifies the mitzvah, he says, etc. And there's a very famous Zohar, where he talks about how Hashem brings all the angels together and shows them how the Jewish people are giving Shevach for his Nisim and how happy it makes him, etc. I'm not reading the text of the Zohar. My point is, it's not the Shita of one Rishon. The Rishonim, the Mefarshim, understood from the Mishnah, from the Haggadah, that Hallel is part of the mitzvah. And this has halachic implications. For example, we all know that when we say the Haggadah, the matzah is supposed to be open, right? Revealed. How do we know that? Lechem oni. One of the drushas is lechem sha'onin alav varam harvid. You talk about. If you look at the Gemara here, Ot Aleph, bottom of page 5, the Gemara says, lechem sha'onin alav varam harvid. What's the varam harvid? Rashi says, shegomrim alav hisahalel, v'omrim alav hagadah. Before Rashi mentions the need to say the Haggadah over the matzah, Rashi talks about the need to say halel over the matzah. The halel, like Sipur, needs to be connected to the matzah, to the objects. And another interesting halacha, the Ran tells us that just like there's a law that we have to finish the matzah and thus the story by chatzos, so you also have to finish the halal by chatzos. Because the halal is part of the story that needs to be connected to the matzah, that needs to be said at the time when there's a chiyuv matzah. What we're seeing here is halal is part of the story. In fact, as we turn to page 6, we're going to up the ante a little bit more. There are many sources that indicate that the whole Haggadah is really about halal. Meaning, not just that halal is part of the mitzvah. The whole mitzvah is really for the purpose of halal. How do you see it? We all know that we call the Haggadah Haggadah based on a word that appears in the Torah. Vihigadita levincha. Vihigadita levincha. That's a rare word. What does vihigadita mean? The Avodram says, Haggadah is a lashon of hodah and shevach. That's what the word means. When we use the word Haggadah, we mean to say thank you. And where does he learn it from? We know in the story of bringing Bikurim, which is actually Arami Yoved Avi that we have on the Seder night, right? The person, when he brings the Bikurim, says, Higadeti Ayom Hashem Elokecha. The Targum translates that as Odinon Yoma Din Kedam Hashem. Odinon, I give Hodah for this today. Higadeti Hodah. Vihigadeta Hodah. And in fact, we all know the Pesukim. Tov Lahodot Lashem. Ulezamer Lashimcho Elyon. Lahagid baboker chazdecho ve'amunot fa'baleilot. The Haggadah is the Hodah. That's why we find a number of interesting halachot regarding the Seder night, which emphasize this idea of it being Hallel and Shevach, for example. The Gaonim and Rashi both say that the whole Haggadah should be said with wine in front of you. Even if you've drank the cup, you should fill the cup and have it over the second cup. Not just I drank the cup, I'll fill it up at the end. Why? When you say Shira, you have to have Yayin. I didn't know the whole Haggadah was Shira. Okay? The Medrash Haggadah says, we learn from here, from the Seder night, from the mitzvah of Sifrei Yetziyat Mitzrayim, the need to give Shevach and Hodah to Hashem for Nisim. And this is how the same Abu Draham that we saw earlier explains the famous line in the Haggadah that even if we're all Chachamim, Levonim, Zakenim, Yodim, is HaTorah, we still have to do the mitzvah of Sipur. Why? There are many different explanations given, but the Abu Draham says, because the mitzvah of Sipur is not just to tell over the story, it's to give thanks. The fact that you know the story doesn't prevent you from saying thank you for what was done for you. And this explains finally on the bottom of page 6, the very famous Gemara, Psachim Daf Kuf Tet Zayin, where Rav Nachman said to his slave, whose name was Daru, he said, a slave who's freed by his master and given money, what should he say to his master? And the slave said, Boy la adui la shabuche, he should say thank you and give shevach. Amrlei, Rav Nachman responded, Patrasim ilomer manishtani, you patted us from the Seder. What did the slave say? Shevach and Hodah. Shevach and Hodah is the essence, not just an add-on to the mitzvah of Haggadah. It's the essence of what the Haggadah is about. So let's summarize what we saw. We asked how is Sipur different. We began by speaking about the format, children and questions. And now we started speaking about the content. The content is subjective. The content is objective. That was our first question. Within the objective, we saw three components. Matzal Dignut, Aram Yovid Avi, Rabban Gamliel. And then we saw that there's Hallel. That's also part of it. And in fact, the very essence of it. The question is, why these things? Why Matzal Dignut? We've answered the question. We can chalk it up. We can fill in the box. How is Sipur different? We can get full credit on the test. It's different Matzal Bignot. It's different Aram Yovid Avi. It's different Hallel. But why? Where does all this come from? How did Chazal know that the essence of it is Hallel? What's the basis for all of this? Well, let's continue now on page 7, where we'll take a little bit of a brief look at the Iyun side of each of these components and start seeing how it expresses itself in Haggadah. And here it's going to be helpful for you if you have the two packets. One pack is the source packet we've been using. The second two-page packet is an actual Haggadah with structural clues, you know, helpfully organized Haggadah for you. It doesn't have a Maxwell House ad on it, but it's, you know, it's something. And we'll be now using them, you know, mixing together. So let's go one by one and try and get a better sense. And again, my goal here, the goal of all this beyond the principles that we're learning is to make your Seder more meaningful because you'll understand as the Baal Haggadah what each part is meant to accomplish. If you have a choice between listening to the first part of the shiur and the next part of the shiur, this is the part you want to listen to. Now, if you already listened to the first part, it's too late. You know, you don't have a choice. But what I'm trying to say is this is the important part. Okay. Matzah Menot Mesayim B'Shevach. We're familiar with the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, "My B'Knot." What's the negative we start with and quote to Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel? Rav says, "Mitzilo over there, Avodat Gilum have the same. You have the same. We talk about how our ancestors were idol worshippers. Yehoshua Perek Chaftal, the second piece here." Recorded on the night of the Haggadah. And Shmuel says, that piece we're also familiar with, Dvarim Perek Vav. When we look at this machloket, I think all of us, if we're thinking naturally without any fancy svaros, we'll get to the fancy svaros. The piece that seems the more natural one for the Seder night is which one, Dvarim Perek Vav or Yehoshua Perek Chavdal? Which one seems more on target? Anyone? Dvarim Perek Vav. Abba Demeinu the fire of Mitzrayim. You can't get any better description of the story than that. It's in the Torah. Also, it should mean something. So now the obvious question is, if that makes so much sense, why does Rav suggest something else? What do you have in Rav's piece that makes it, at least for Rav, preferable? Anyone? What does Rav's piece have over Shmuel's?
Historical.
What?
Historical.
It starts the story earlier. It gives you more perspective. Who our ancestors were. Correct? What else?
Spiritual.
We're not just talking about Avdus in the technical sense. We're talking about who we were as people that necessitated the physical slavery. This is the point made by the Avu Draham, second source in the bottom of page 7. He goes, real Gnai is not that we were enslaved. Okay, that's persecution. It doesn't say something about us. The fact that we were over the Avodah Zarah, that says something bad about our ancestors. And the truth is, if you put the two points together, why do we have to become slaves in the first place? There was a purification process that was necessary. We see even Yaakov's children had Avodah Zarah, right? They took the Avodah Zarah from Shechem, I don't know, whatever. I mean, there needs to be a purification process. People needed to know who their God was. The process of slavery and freedom and redemption helped. So you need to start the story earlier. You need to relate to things more deeply in order to appreciate it. And you see this beautifully, you want to see a nice diuk on the bottom of page 7. The Rambam, like us, quotes both these options. But it's interesting to see the different verb the Rambam uses to introduce them. שבתחילה היו אבותינו בימי תרח מלפן אף קופרים וטוען, וכן מתחיל ומודיע שעבדם היינו לפער במצרים. What's the difference between the word מודיע and מסאפר? מודיע means to let someone know. מסאפר means to tell the whole story. The Rambam uses the word מסאפר by מתחילה עובדי עבודה זרה because it's more of a story. It's not just עבדם היינו. Now we, of course, like the Rambam, do both. And it's very interesting to see how. Let's shift over to our Haggadah now. Now, a lot of people wonder to what extent we should be studying the structure and flow of the Haggadah. And the reason they wonder this is because the Haggadah is an amalgam of pieces that came from different times, different places, all over the world, and somehow it got put together. So should you assume there's any structure there? The answer to that question, of course, is the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. Either there is or there isn't. And let me start everyone off with an interesting just introduction, an interesting taster. The first piece in the Haggadah is written in Aramaic, right? The last piece in the Haggadah, before the songs that says, I am the last piece in the Haggadah. What's the last piece in the Haggadah? Chasal Sidur Pesach, Kihil Chaso. That's Hebrew, not Aramaic. Very different place. Comes from Italy, by the way. It was part of a piyut for Shabbos Haggadah about the Korban Pesach. Chasal Sidur Pesach, they went through all the halachas of the Pesach, and then they would say, Kasher zachinu l'sader oso, they would say, kei niskel asoso. You know when they meant kei niskel asoso this week? When they put it in the Haggadah, now suddenly it's Pesach night, so it's not going to happen this year, so we add the line of anyway, that's the point I want to make. The first piece in the Haggadah, Aramaic Bavel, and the last piece in the Haggadah, Hebrew Italy. Totally different places, totally different times. Common thread in how they end. What's the common thread? How do we end Halach Ma'anya? Hashati Avdi. Lashon Abba Nechar. Hashati Hachal. Lashon Abba Barad Yisrael. And how do we end the Hebrew piece? Lashon Abba Yerushalayim. Somebody thought of the fact that they wanted to end the Haggadah the way they began the Haggadah. Again, as I said, the Chassal of the Pesach piece wasn't even written for the Haggadah. But whoever put it there was thinking, we're going to end like we began. We're going to have these bookends. The Haggadah is going to start and end with our thinking about our future. And that's why there were always Jews who didn't assimilate wherever they were. They were thinking about their future. Wherever they were stuck in something. Next year, we're going to be somewhere else. Next year, we're going to be somewhere else. There's a very famous story everyone talks about on Tisha B'Av from Napoleon, right? It's a false story. He was conquering Russia. It was Tisha B'Av. He heard the Jews are mourning. He said, what are they mourning about? He found out they're mourning for the temple. People have heard this story, right? Napoleon asked, how long ago was the temple destroyed? 1800 years ago. And Napoleon said, a people that remembers their past that way is bound to have a bright future. How many people have heard that story, Napoleon? No?
At least twice
on Tisha B'Av, right? That's only half the story. The reason the Jews are around today and back in Israel is not because they remember their past. The Italians remember their past too, for a few generations until it fades. The reason Jews are still around is because no matter where they were, they believed their future was the past. We're only here for a short time. We're only here for a short time. Next year we'll be in Yerushalayim. L'shon Abba B'Arad Yisrael. That's the way we begin and end the Seder. Let's get back on the topic of what we're talking about. So we start with Matzah B'Gnut and Messiah B'Shevach, and as we said, we do both of them. Which one do we do both? Understand? Which one do we do first, understandably? Which one would you do first? Avodah Ma'inu. The basics, right? In fact, we have two parallel frameworks of Matzah B'Gnut and Messiah B'Shevach that both begin the same way and end the same way. Both begin with four questions. The first round of four questions is Manishtana. The second round of four questions is the four children, right? Then we have the Gnut, and then we have the Shevach. What's the first Shevach? Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shanas and Torah, Lamisho, Baruch Hu. What's the second Shevach? It's all on the sheet here. No trick questions. Baruch Shomer Avtachos Al Yisrael. Did you ever notice that there are these two parallel frameworks? What's the difference between them? The first round is as simple as you could possibly get. The four questions are really one question, and it's not that deep of a question. What's the question? Hey, something different going on, right? There's no perspective here. The first Gnus is the simple one. Avadim Fire Mitzrayim, Mitzvah Shalakan Misham, boom. And the Shevach is the Haggadah's equivalent of Rabba Dub Dub, thank you for your Yetzias Mitzrayim. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. The second round is deeper. The second round is four children asking from different perspectives. The Gnut is deeper, as we already saw, and the Shevach is deeper. It's about a process with a Haftacha that began way earlier. It's a deeper, broader story. And here I want to answer a very important question about the Seder night. Is the Seder night subjective or objective? And the answer, of course, is both. We have to relate to different children and different people, and many people have it their story. Big tummy, the Chachamim, older people, younger people, people doing it for the 100th time, people doing it for the first time. So how do you cater to that? The answer is, Haggadah is built in stages. Stage one is the simple message that everybody understands. No matter who. Manishtana alayim tem kolayim. Avadminu. Baruch HaMakom. The second stage, I don't know that a kindergarten child can understand. We were over the Avodah Zarah. What's over the Avodah Zarah? There was a Haftacha. What's a Haftacha? We're moving slowly from the simple to the more complex. The biggest problem we have running Starim is that we don't know what we're supposed to do at what point. We start Kiddush, there's kids with index cards. They want to give a vort on Kiddush. Avodah Mayinu, Kalman has a whole drush on Avodah Mayinu, a whole pilpul. It's not the time. That's not what Avodah Mayinu is for. By the way, where are you supposed to say the pilpul? The part of the Haggadah nobody ever talks about. The part that you're supposed to spend the most time on. Which part is that? Aram Yovedavi. That's what people say, Mitzvah the Makos. That's the part when we're supposed to darshan. How do I know? How does the Mishnah introduce it? Vidorish Me'aram Yovedavi. You take the psukim, you start darshaning it. The first part of the Haggadah is the theme. The theme on a basic level. The theme on a deeper level. Hey, you're talking about the theme. Don't give people a headache. This is where everyone can appreciate it. We get to Aram Yovedavi. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. Now we're going to go in depth. And again, man, now the kids are playing with the nuts, right? And with the matzah, and they've stolen, and they're busy, and whatever. Great. There's supposed to be something for everyone. But before we get to Aram Yovedavi, I want to focus on the bottom of page one on a piece in the Haggadah we all know is important, but I don't know if we understand why. Everybody knows Vehi Sham is one of the highlights. And even before Shweki, people knew it was a highlight, right? Who remembers Vehi Shamda, Vehi? That's got wiped off. We have to keep the Vehi Shamda club going. The kids don't know. Every time I start it, all of them they go, right? I start hearing Shweki in the background. That's an example of how a song can wipe out, you know, the past. I'm going to ask a question about Vehi Shamda, which no matter how many times I ask it, I never get the answer. It's a very simple question, but hard to answer. And it's hard to get distracted, to not get distracted by the content. What is the goal of Vehi Shamda? Now, I want to reiterate what I'm not asking. I'm not asking what does Vehi Shamda say. I'm not asking to translate or summarize it. I'm asking what its goal is. What does Vehi Shamda hope to accomplish? Why is it here?
It wakes everyone up.
Okay, that could be. I didn't think of that one, but yeah, okay. He's singing, yeah. Initially, it didn't come with notes. I think we sing it because we understand it's important. The Achdus is definitely important. Shalom Echad Bilvad is a very famous Chassidus Shavar. But on a Pashat level, what?
It's nice to us here and now.
Vehi Shamda aims to create relevance. One of the big questions, the big challenges on the Seder night is, why should I care? And we all care because we're raised with it. But an objective listener says, why should I care? Why should I care that God took my ancestors out of Egypt 3,500 years ago? By the way, where is the first place in the Haggadah where it tries to create relevance? Before Vehi Shamda. Look inside, page number one. Where is the first place in the Haggadah where the Haggadah tries to create relevance? Right after it mentions the slavery for the first time. Ve'ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu et avotenu mimitzrayim. Hare anu v'neinu v'nevanenu mishuva v'yinu samhev adayin l'farav mitzrayim. This is an attempt to create relevance. How successful is this first attempt? Not very successful. Why not? Most people kind of assume that over 3,500 years, some of the United Nations would eventually have cared about us, right? Meaning everyone got freed at some point. And you know what? Frankly, even if historically it could be proven that we would never have been freed, it's hard to feel that. Someone once sent me a picture of an African-American child spray painting a statue of Abraham Lincoln. Why is that strange? Because Abraham Lincoln freed his ancestors. But that kid doesn't feel that. It's 150 years ago. Kal v'chomer 3,500 years ago. V'hisha Amda aims to create relevance in a different way. What's the relevance of V'hisha Amda? What is it saying? You see, Mitzrayim happened 3,500 years ago. But the same thing happens in our times. Similar things happen in our times. And by the way, this becomes possible after we've broadened out the story and thanked Hashem for keeping his haftacha. Because that haftacha is still there, saving us from similar circumstances. Never the same. We were never slaves in Egypt again. But similar circumstances happen all the time. And the haftacha we see in every generation. So this is part one of the Haggadah, the theme and the relevance. Let's turn now to page 2 for part 2. As we saw in the Mishnah, we go back to our Makorah sheet for a second, page 8. We go back to our Makorah sheet, page 8. The first line is Matkol Bignot Messiah Meshavah. The second line is Vidoresh Me'aramio Vidaviyad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha Kula. That word Vidoresh is important. How do we express that word in the Haggadah? We start Aramio Vidaviyad, we introduce it with what two words? Seulamad, which is the Yerushalmi Eretz Yisrael version of Toshma. Bavli says, come here. Yerushalmi says, go learn. There's a lot to say about that. And this explains, if you want to see a beautiful diuk in the Rambam, second source, page 8, the Rambam says, and then the Rambam adds, everyone knows that line in Haggadah, right? The Rambam understands that halacha of kolam marbe is on the Arami Ovidavi part. Meaning if you're marbe lidrosh and kiddush, it's not mishubach. If you're marbe lidrosh and avadim ayinu, or in Mitzilov, it's not mishubach. Not bad. But where do we say, kol amar b'lesap areza mishubach? Bidrash parshazu. Because this is where we get into the nitty-gritty, and if you take a look at page 2 in your Haggadah, structured it here well, it can help people. The bold is the pasuk from Dvarim Perek Chavav, the one place in the Torah where the Torah tells us how to tell the story. The Torah itself tells the story. But in Dvarim Perek Chavav, when we bring the Bikurim, the Torah tells us how to tell the story. That's why we take these psukim. And by the way, we take 4 psukim, magical number on the Seder night, 4 psukim. We take the 4 psukim and darshan each phrase. Classical, drush, iyun, what iyun meant before Abchayim. I'm saying going through each phrase, darshaning it, talking about what it is, what exactly happened, what exactly was Makas Dam, what exactly was the slave. And this is where people should bring out the heavy hitter Divrei Torah. Understand what each maka and how it was different, than what the different aspects of the slavery and what. Not the gematria of the word after the mayu. This is where it was supposed to go into it in depth. And that's why, by the way, the shevach of this part of the Haggadah is a shevach that's perfectly suited for this part of the Haggadah. What's the shevach that concludes this part of the Haggadah? We had Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, and now what do we have here? Kama malot tovot la makom aleinu. I'm trying to show you the flow of shevach with the same usage of the word makom. Halachas kama v'chama tovot kfulim chupelet la makom. Something that encapsulates the details of how much Hashem did for us. That's dayenu. And dayenu is, even if God had just done this, it would be enough reason for us to sing. Even just this would have been enough reason for us to sing. It's not saying that's enough. Right? Taking us out of Mitzrayim wouldn't have been enough, but it's enough reason to sing. This is a song about detailed shevach. This is the difference between part 2 and part 1. Any questions before we move forward to the last part, part 3, which will transition for us into Hallel as well. So now we're shocked after seeing how meaningful Matzah B'Gnut is, seeing how important Aram Yovid Avi is. We're even more surprised to hear Rabbi Gamliel say, you could have done everything up till now, you're not Yotze. What? Why? What's missing? So first of all, what does Rabbi Gamliel require? What does he insist upon? If you have to summarize it in your own words, you have to connect the story to the objects. And if we began by asking two questions, what's the relationship between Sipur and Zechira? And what's the relationship between Sipur and the objects? And maybe the questions answer each other. Rabbi Gamliel believes that they do. If you ask Rabbi Gamliel, how is Sipur different than Zechira? He would say, look at the other things going on this night. There's a bunch of objects. When we remember the whole year, it's just a memory in a vacuum. It's theoretical. On the Seder night, we connect the story to the objects. We'll soon see why that's very important. But first of all, that's the answer. We connect the story to the objects. And if we look, continuing on our Makor sheet on page 8, that's why the Rambam writes, Perakset Halacha Dalet, that you need to bring the Shulchan back before the Baal HaGadol, the little Shulchanos they would remove, dafka before Rav Gamliel. Because now we need to point to the Seder plate and the objects that are on it. And of course, we know from Shmos Perikid Beis and Shmos Perikid Gimel that the way we're supposed to answer our child is by pointing to the objects. Shmos Perikid Beis, V'hayu ki yom yorelechem b'necham ma'avod zot lachem, ve'amartem zevach Pesach u'lashem. You point to the Pesach. Tosva says, this is how we know. Rav Gamliel, that you have to say Pesach zeh. The next parak, Perikid Gimel, v'yigad et al-dinich v'yom hu'leimor, ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tseisi mi'mitzrayim. Again, zeh, we're pointing to something. Shibali Alekid says, it's bizman shemunachem lefanecho. That's why we do the Seder at night and not during the day. Why not do the Seder during the day like most of the mitzvahs of Yom Tov? We tell the story at the time when we have the objects, and we have the objects at the time when they had the objects, when they were sitting in Mitzrayim preparing for Makas Bechoros. We sit at the same time with the same objects, tell the story that we connect to the objects. And that's why the original Manishtan, bottom of page 8, talked about three things, the Matzah, the Maror, and the Korban Pesach. The story is about these objects. Why? Okay, so far we answered the what? The content. We talked about why Matzah B'Gnut. We talked about why Rami Ravi. We talked about why Rami Gamliel. But what is it for? What's the goal? And this gets me to the linchpin that will bring us to the conclusion of the shir. If you look on the top of page 9, in the Mishnah, in Pesachim, the continuation of the Mishnah, if you look at the Rambam, and you look in the Haggadah, Rabbi Gamliel, in all of these places, is followed up with the same piece. Where does this piece come from? And I think the answer is, it comes from Rabbi Gamliel. As we know, the goal in the Seder night is different than the goal the rest of the year. The goal the rest of the year is to remember. The goal on the Seder night is to re-experience. If we ask in the beginning, how is Sipur different than we said, there's three answers, format, content, goal. The format is children and questions. The content is the big three, Matzah B'Gnut, Aram Yovid Avi, Rav Gamliel. The goal is to re-experience. How does remembering the past transform into experiencing it in the present? How do you get from memory, from history, to experience? The answer is relics. If a person wants to experience the Civil War, so first they would study the theme, they would study the details, they would learn the story well, then they would get the uniforms, the gunpowder, the mustache, whatever, go out to a certain place on a foggy night. And if you know the story well enough, and you have enough of the context, you can feel like you're experiencing it. Havdil elef alfei havdalos. We don't take the tobacco, and we don't take the Egyptian cigarettes. We take the Pesach, Matzah, and Maror that are objects of significance. The reason God took us out of Mitzrayim, we focus on them, we eat them, we observe God's mitzvot that connect to them, but they play the same role of helping us connect back to an event that these objects were involved in, that we are meant to re-experience in our own time. And you see the connection between Bechol Dor V'Dor and Rami Gamliel very simply. Rami Gamliel said, Kol Shalom Shlosh Tavim L'Pesach, Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavasa. Next line, Bechol Dor V'Dor, Chayiv Adam Lirus Esatzmo. Lo Yotzi Yedei Chavasa, Chayiv Adam. Here's the Chayiv. And it's even more beautiful if we look at the chart I put on the bottom of page 9. So first of all, Soloveitchik said beautifully, V'chol ha'mar ben l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't say kol ha'mar ben l'saper es yitzias Mitzrayim. We're not telling about it. We're telling from inside it. A person should be part of the story. And remember, we saw right side, bottom of page 9, the two attempts to create relevance. The first was, how do we respond to that now? It's almost like a response left side. Lois avosenu bilvad goel hakadosh baruch hu. Lois avosenu bilvad el afo son of Ali Mohan. And the second attempt, similar things happen. Now we say, the same thing happens. It's not only them who were taken out. It's not only similar things that happen in every generation. It's the same thing that happens in every generation because we're being taken out. If we're meant to feel about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way our ancestors did, if we're meant to be able to tap into Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, if those words are meant to mean to us what they meant to our ancestors, the backdrop has to mean to us what it meant to them. And that's the Seder Night. And this is the climax of the Chol Dor V'Dor that's generated by Rabbi Gamliel and his Shlosha Dvarim and why you're not Yotzei without them. And this now leads us finally to the Hallel. How do we know that the Hallel is connected to personally experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim? Look at page 10. There's a very important connector word that appears in the Mishnah, in the Rambam, in the Haggadah. After we say V'chol Dor V'Dor, the very next line we say, Fichach. Because we are experiencing ourselves, the Fichach, Anachnu Chayovim. Because we're experiencing it. That's how Chazal knew that the Hallel and Hadar are part of the mitzvah here. Because it's not a mitzvah to remember. It's a mitzvah to experience. So obviously that's the nature of what's going on here. And if you want to see some sources about it, there's a very famous concept that appears in the Gaon, in the Ran quotes from Haigon, why we don't say the regular Birchas HaHallel on Hallel at the Seder night. Because it's not a commemorative, formalistic Hallel. It's a Hallel of Shira, where we express our appreciation. And interestingly, when Rav Haigon, quoted by the Ran, quotes this, he starts with Rav Gamliel's words in the Mishnah. Shekein Shanin, Rav Gamliel Omer. What does Rav Gamliel have to do with the Hallel? Because it's Rav Gamliel Shlosha Dvarim that make B'chol Dor V'Dor possible, that lead to the Lefichach. The Megash, Maral, both speak about this at length. And it climaxes with the bracha that we do say on the Hallel. Baruch Ato Hashem, bottom of page 10. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Ge'alanu. Who's Ge'alanu? Asher Ge'alanu. Does that mean the royal we of the Jewish people? Or does it mean us? How do we know that it means us? What's the next words? Asher Ge'alanu. V'Ge'al Asabu Seinu. He didn't. Asher Ge'alanu. Asher Ge'alanu. V'Ge'al Asabu Seinu. That's the bracha at the end of Magid, at the end of Hallel. This is what the Hallel is supposed to be. When a person says, B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, they're supposed to feel, B'tzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. That's why we say that part of the Hallel before the meal. You think about it, if a person hasn't fulfilled B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayav Adam, you can't say the bracha. What do you say? Bracha to Hashem, L'kenim Mechal, Asher Ge'al Lanu, V'Ge'al Asav Asim. How can you can't say that? You have to feel that you were Nigal. It's not a nice Chassidus Shehidur on the Seder night. You have to feel. That's the Chiyuv. Everything is building towards that. That's how it's different. That's how we create an experience that we can remember the rest of the year. The goal is that the rest of the year we remember what we ourselves experienced on the Seder night. Yeah. Why isn't it? In what way? I think that's the point. We're putting ourselves first because we are the ones saying the bracha and the halal. We thank him for the ancestors too. But it's focusing on what's really core here. What? Elokeinu v'elokei avoseinu. What? That's a little different but similar, yeah. This would be a great place to end this year. But I want to add one last point. The part of the God that nobody ever talks about, besides the Rami Ovi Navi. And that is after the meal. This kind of vague, half doozy, saying more. I'm not talking about the Chag Gadol. I'm talking about the part that's still part of the Haggadah. If you take a look at the top of page 11, Tana Rabbanan Revi, before we want to talk about Kos Chamishi, but let's talk about first Kos Revi. It says, Gomer Alav is a Hallel. We finished the Hallel. V'Omer Hallel Haggadah. What is the goal of Hallel after the meal? A few words just about this part of the Haggadah. So I think the Gomer Alav is a Hallel, the second part of a Hallel, and the Hallel of God have two separate complementary goals. Let's start with Gomer Alav is a Hallel. Barbanel says, The reason we have a meal as a hafsaka is to move from present, past to future. Before the meal, we're talking about how we also were taken out of Mitzrayim. The acharav, yavo hachelek hasheni min hahalel, the inyano liosid lavo lizman golios. Now we look forward and express our belief in the future, in God's being there for us in the future. And you see this, of course, in the continuation of Birchas HaGeulah. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher gaalanu v'gaalas avosenu mimitzrayim v'hivyeinu lalayla zeh alocha bo matzah u'marah. Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'elokei avosenu yagiyenu l'moadim v'regalim acherim v'nodu l'chashir chadash ha'geulah seinu. This is the transition from Halo Part 1 to Halo Part 2. And there are many psukim in Halo Part 2 that are about our future hopes. For example, es halech lefnei Hashem b'arzas achayim, I'll walk before God in the land of the living. The Maram Sachem Dachkut Yerchet says that the reason we say this Mizmor, it says Yisrael in the end, Lo Lanu, is because it's not just about the past, it's about Tchias HaMesim. It's about Chevlo Shom Mashiach. It's about Shiva Malchios, Mechemes Gogu Magog. The goal on the Seder night is that if we can feel like we're experiencing the Nisim of the past in the present, it should give us more basis in our believing in the Nisim of the future. And you see that very beautifully on page 12 in the words of the smack. Everyone wants to know, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what's the mitzvah? Can you really command people to believe? Some say it's not a mitzvah. The smack says, the goal is that just like we appreciate that we were taken out of Mitzrayim by Hashem, this should help us believe that he will take us out of the Galios in the future. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shorazik Meretz Mitzrayim means, I'm the God who took you out in the past. Believe that I'll take you out in the future. And this is Beferish in the way Chazal understood, the way Hashem first introduced himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim in Parsha Shmos. Moshe said, Mashmo, the Jews are going to ask me, what's your name? What should I tell them? And God answers, Eh, Yasher. Rashi says, just like I'm with you now, I'll be with you in the future. We're already talking about the future now. Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to be a model for future gulos, and that's why we say in Birchas Rosh Chodesh, Yishas and Yishu Lavos and Vagolos and Yabdos Lecherus, Hu Yigalo Sanu Bikarov. That's what we say every time we talk about the gulos of the past. And that's why on the Seder night, as we said, we see in the beginning and the end of the Seder, we're always talking about the relevance for our future. In fact, the Rishonim and the Achronim on the bottom of page 12 understood that Yetziat Mitzrayim was not a one-time event. It's not just there'll be other gulos in the future. Yetziat Mitzrayim continues in the future. How do we see this? Bottom of page 12. Both in the words of Bilam and the words of the Torah itself, which both Perek Yudal and Yetzias Mitzrayim is presented in present tense. Kel motziam mi Mitzrayim. Uvenei Yisrael yotzim biyad ramam. The Aruch Chaim says the reason it's written this way is Yetzias Mitzrayim didn't just happen once, it happens in every generation. As we say on the Seder night, mitchile ovdei avodah zarah yu avoseinu, v'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avodaso. It's happening now. Rav Kook on page 13 took this in a beautiful, huge step forward. Rav Kook said, the Aruch Chaim is right, it happens every year, but not a new happening. It's one long continuum. Rav Kook wrote, Hagula nimshechet yivoholechet. It's continuous. Gulas Mitzrayim v'gulas ha'asir ha'shleim ha'hi pu'ula achas she'ina posekes. It's one long redemption that doesn't stop. In fact, in Olat Riyah, Rav Kook wrote that when we refer to these roa nituya, the outstretched arm, the reason God's arm is constantly outstretched is because it's always ready to act. It's always acting. There's always geula inching forward. Rav Kook summarized this in another piece in Olat Riyah. Etzem pu'ulat yitziat Mitzrayim pu'ula she'ena nefseket klal. V'hamif'ala atzmi shal yitziat Mitzrayim holechu u'po'el et pu'ulato. Hazroa elokit asher nechsefa b'mitzrayim l'gulatam shel Yisrael. Hi netuya ve'omedes. V'hachanat hamshachat pu'ulata be'ein hefsek v'hafra. Constantly in motion. So this is finishing Hallel. We talk about the Nisim of the past, present, and we talk about the Nisim in the future. But if you remember, on the top of page 11, we said on the fourth cup, we do two things. What were the two things? Gomer Alav HaHallel, that we just spoke about. Omer Hallel HaGadol. What is Hallel HaGadol about? If we look at the top of page 14, Hallel HaGadol is Tehillim Perek Kuf Lamed Vav. We're familiar with it. Hodel Hashem Kitov Kulam Chasdo. Hodel Elohim Kulam Chasdo. Hodel Elohim Kulam Chasdo. Kulam Chasdo. That's called Hallel HaGadol. Why is it called Hallel HaGadol? The Marim Sachem Kuf Yotzeh quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who explains. Greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he sits up way beyond our world, and worries about every living being having the food it needs. And Rashi explains the significance of the pasuk, "Nosein lachem l'chol basar." Hainu davar gadol. For some being that's so beyond, to be so caring about every piece of this world, that's an amazing thing. As we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Devarim, we say, "Hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanora, osem mishpat yasom ve'almana ohev ger lasis l'lachem v'simba." And the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, learns from here the same Rabbi Yochanan. And anytime we hear about God's greatness, we also hear about how he's an anav. He deals with the smallest things in the world. And it says afterwards, Osem mishpat yasom ve'almana. The goal on the Seder night is not just to come to believe in great miracles. That's hallel. The goal on the Seder night is to use our experience of great miracles to appreciate God's involvement in the mundane, day-to-day, smallest, nitty-gritty of our world and our lives. And this point is made emphatically by a famous Ramban, the most important Ramban of the Torah, in the end of Parshas Bo, where he says the reason we have to so many mitzvahs to commemorate Yetziat Mitzrayim is because God isn't going to bring miracles to disprove every kofar in every generation. And then he says, continuing on page 15, very sharp lines in bold, "Min hanisim hagdolim ha'mefursamim," from the great famous nisim, "Adam modeh v'nisim ha'nistarim," people come to recognize and believe in the hidden nisim, "Shehem yesod ha'torah kula," that are the basis of the whole Torah. "She'ein la'adam chelek v'torah Moshe Rabbeinu," you have no chelek in the Torah of Moshe, "Ad she'nam in b'chol dvarenu u'mikrenu shekulam nisim, ein b'hem teva, u'min havo shel olam. Bein b'rabim, bein b'yochid." To come to recognize that in essence, everything is a nes. The Chinuch writes about this, famous Gemaras in Chulin and Erechim that talk about the smallest things in our world, cutting a finger, pulling out the wrong number of coins, are things from above. Or the way Albert Einstein said it, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. That's the Seder night. To realize that everything is from Hashem. And finally, to conclude Mamish on page 16, we saw the passage earlier where it says, "The mantisker is umtes from the to try and call Yemei Chayef." The memory of Yetziat Mitzrayim should be every day. The focal point is the Seder night, but it should be every day. The Baal HaTanya understands this everydayness in an interesting way. He says, "Vinei b'chol dor v'dor, v'chol yom v'yom, chayev adam liros atzmo k'ilu hu yatzah yom Mitzrayim." That's an interesting addition based on the passage. Every day a person has to feel like they're leaving Egypt. What does it mean? Says the Baal HaTanya, "V'hi yitziyas nefesh ha'elokit mi'masar aguf." The soul is by definition unlimited in its possibilities, but it's within a physical body which is limited. The question is whether we believe enough in our soul and our relationship with God to believe that we don't have limits. The Sfat Emet formulates it this way and says, "V'ha emet ki b'chol eid yesh mitzarim b'chol ish yisrael." Everyone has their limits, their restrictions. The drasha here is that Mitzrayim, like Mitzarim, means the limitations that people assume for themselves. Obviously, in Mitzrayim, we had very clear limitations. We were slaves. Many of us are slaves to things, to assumptions we have about how we live or need to live or should live. The power of the soul and our relationship with God should mean that we believe that we can be who we need to be more than what we already are. In the words of the Rav Tzadok HaKohen, "Iker zichron yetzias Mitzrayim sheyizkor ha'adam af b'tzar lo," when things are tight, narrow, "kol makom kishu yifnatzmo la'Hashem yizbarach v'shio mikol tzar." God can help remove the limitations, the borders, the narrowness. And different people, all kinds of people, each person has in their own life things they feel limit them and restrict them and keep them from being the next step of what they want to be. Yetziat Mitzrayim, in the full sense of the word, should inspire us to believe in God in the nitty-gritty, with the implication being that we believe that we can be more than we already are, because we have a relationship with God who took us out of Mitzrayim, who takes us out of Mitzrayim every year and every day. So I hope that our understanding of these principles and seeing how they apply to the Haggadah will A, help us be better leaders of the Haggadah and help and give direction of how to balance between the big picture and the flow of the theme and the nitty-gritty and the learning in depth. And number two, that we know what lessons we're meant to be taking away from this so that we can share those lessons with our children and those at our Seder and reinforce the values that make us the people we are and the reason we're here today because of our ancestors who internalized those values within us. Shekoach again to Henry, to Danny, and everyone should have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Good to see you.